Good morning, guys, and welcome to Campus Worship. My name is Luke Hertzler, and I will be the facilitator of the service today. So I think it's just custom to begin with prayer as we start this time. So let's bow our heads. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time that we're able to gather as a community, that we're able to feel this communal atmosphere and this energizing atmosphere. Lord, we bring ourselves to you, that no matter where we are, we know that exams have been stressing our lives, studying final projects before fall break. But Lord, wherever we are, we bring that to you. And we come here with this focus that, you know, we're all here for you, that we're able to leave everything at the door and just spend this little time with you, and that this would be a reminder that we can spend more time with you. Lord, I pray that you guide the service and lead and direct it, and I pray that we're able to get something out of this and really take something from this into our rest of our weeks. Lord, we thank you for being you. Amen. This morning for campus worship, we will be revisiting this theme of what is your why. And today we have Micah and Mariah Hurst to present a little bit about their ideas about this theme. And so to begin this campus worship time, I would like to have a time that can prepare us for these responses of them and then what we take away from it. So let's begin a time of discussing in small groups or twos, or maybe just processing alone, but kind of think about a summary of these first weeks of the semester. How has this half of the semester treated you? What are the things that you've been thinking about in regards to this theme of what is your why? And yeah, just get into some groups and we'll have two minutes or so to do that, and then I'll hand it over to the worship band. Thank you.
If that's okay. Welcome to Campus Worship, as Luke was saying. I invite you, as you're able, to stand with us this morning for worship. This morning, the words that came to my mind while I was choosing songs were guidance and humility, particularly in how we and when we discern what's our why. I definitely would have thought at this point of the semester that I would have figured mine out by now, but I'm realizing that that has not happened, and I'm still thinking, and for us to acknowledge that it is a journey, that we do need to ask for guidance, and in that asking for guidance, in that asking for dependence, there is humility. And so those are just some of the things that you can be thinking about as we're singing this morning, and as we're worshiping this morning. So for our first song, I invite you, you can look at the words on the screen, or you can turn to page 546 in your hymn, in the blue book, and we'll start with Guide My Feet, as we're thinking about this theme.
Guide my feet, while I'm on this trail. Guide my feet, while I'm on this trail. Thank you. Here we go. I want to introduce to you my brother, Micah. And I don't mean that in the Christian sense of, oh, he's my brother. He actually is my brother. Micah has been working with youth and young adults for many years, particularly in camping ministry and also in campus ministry, as well as working alongside churches, really focusing on discipleship with young people. Micah is the person in our family who will always be like, you want to play a game? And really loves playing frisbee as well. He's married to a delightful person named Carla, and they have two of the cutest kids in the world. I'm not biased. His daughter, Shauna, I used to call my mini-me, but she has just passed me in height, and so I can no longer refer to her as mini. I now become her mini-me, even though she's only 13. Micah gets to speak on campus other times and is around in other spaces, but where he also has a job right now is at Weaver's Mennonite, where he works with youth and young adults.
And I want to introduce to you guys my sister, Mariah, who will be speaking here in a moment as well. Mariah and I grew up as missionary kids, bouncing around all over the world, and as part of that, she picked up a love for God, but also a love for justice, and you will hear some of that in what she shares. She went to Goshen, not here, but we won't hold that against her. She went to MBS, not here, but we won't hold that against her. And then she worked in Australia with Mennonite Mission Network, doing all sorts of fun and exciting things. Partially, she was pastoring, which isn't always a full-time job, but it sure feels like it. But alongside that, she constantly was doing something else. So she got to work with a place called Irene's Place, where she started a community where all young women, when you were there, came in and they got to experience ministry in Australia. All of them were from here. I think her two rules were don't die and don't have any kids, right? So yes, they found that humorous and put it on their shirt. She also got to work with an organization that worked for justice in Australia, calling for some of the children that are immigrants that have been put into basically an island detention center to be released. So her love for justice has come out. She is now currently one of the ministry associates here. Ministry
affiliates.
There we go. And also works full time down here at Parkview, where when you ask her job title, it's real long. It's basically children, kids, families. If you're human, she works with you. I'm very excited to hear what Mariah has to say.
So we were asked to think some about what's our why. And I want to start by reading you what my purpose statement is. This is my what's my why. My why is to walk with others in pain towards wholeness, facing life with tears, frustration, and joy. To sit in silence in community, listening for God's leading. To work with children, youth, and women, listening and loving. To deepen an understanding of nature, simple living, and our accountability to the earth and others sharing these resources. To listen to the underdog, the oppressed, and the irregular voice. To trust wildly and to stand in the hurt and the beauty that will come. To see darkness not as an ending, but to sit in it waiting, and to cultivate wonder. That leads me into thinking some about what I am called to, and that's some of what we want to talk with you about today. So that's some of what my why is, but the thing is, I didn't start there. And let's see if I can make it work. I can. This is a quote from Frederick Buechner. The place God calls you to is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And this is the place I want us to start today. So when I think about that, I think about where do we see brokenness? How each one of us sees brokenness is shaped by our life circumstance, our story, and who we are. When I was 16 years old, I am the product of both a missionary family, and our parents are both pastors. And I was being called into doing leadership in different things, even when I was in high school and even younger than that. And so I was on a youth council in Lancaster Conference, and one of the people on the cabinet with me, this youth council, came up to me, and this was an adult, and they said, "Mariah, you're going to be a pastor, right?" And I looked at them and I went, "You're crazy, right?" Because one of the places that I saw brokenness was actually in the church. And I was like, there is no way that I want to put my name down with those people and I want to be a part of that. I'm up for following Jesus, but one of the places I saw brokenness was in the church, partly because my parents worked with churches in conflict. And so what I want you to think about is, where do you see brokenness? For me, that's shaped by the fact that I've walked with young people who are dealing with depression, suicide, and self-harm. Some of where I see brokenness in the world is because one of my roommates in college was raped, and so now I sit in the stories of women, and I feel that deeply. And I also know people who have been incarcerated, both in prisons from having ex-cons living with our family, and then also walking with refugees. And so I definitely see that brokenness in the world. So I want you just to think for a moment for you, where do you see brokenness? The next part of that is thinking about what are your gifts and skills? And I know that seems like quite the jump. I have had a lot of time of other people saying things to me, "Mariah, you're good at this. Do this thing." And I have had that resistance of like, nope, I see the brokenness there. I don't want to do that. Don't want to be a part of this. And so my internal calling and the external affirmation that other people gave me didn't match up. And when I was in seminary, I was in the MDiv track, which is normally headed towards pastoral ministry, and I was still saying, there is no way in the world that I will ever be a pastor, and you can't make me. And the pastor that I was working with at that point, she was like, "You may not say no. You may say, I don't know. Because actually, I think you're headed towards being a pastor." But it was this still continuing, people were saying things to me, and I didn't necessarily claim them for myself. So think for a moment for yourself. What are the things that people affirm in you? What are the things that you're good at? What are skills that you have? Because I think our calling is actually this space where these two overlap, where we see brokenness in the world and the things that we are really good at. And where do they meet? For me, one of the places that they meet is in this call to justice. And as I was teaching about this at one point in Australia, I realized that it was kind of funny because I hadn't thought about some of the even little ways that this is working. So I was at a rally at one point. And do I have the picture next? Yes, I do. I was at a rally, and this was talking about these asylum seekers who had been put in detention offshore in Australia, and they're being held there indefinitely, even children. And so there was a march through the middle of the city, and I don't know if you can see my sign very well, but it says, "Stop and remember that we all arrived on a boat." And as we were walking through the streets of, this is the second largest city in Australia, as we do at some rallies, somebody like has a call that they say and then everybody repeats it back to them. And there were some people who had megaphones and they were doing the like, doing the first part of the call and then there was the response. And I realized partway through that I was doing the leading part of the call and people were responding and I could keep more people chanting with me than people on megaphones. And what I realized was I have a gift of being loud. And I have a calling to see the brokenness in the world. And that was one of those little spaces where those two came together. And it was this spot of, that's where I'm called to be, where I use my gifts and skills to approach the brokenness in the world. So the place that God calls you to is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. So think for a moment, how are those two talking to each other in your life? Where do you see brokenness? What are your gifts and skills? And where's that conversation between? And this, is it big enough up there that you can see it? Because this is kind of the sweet spot, where some of this stuff starts overlapping. And I was talking with somebody who's a senior this year. I was just talking to them this morning, and that whole, like, oh no, what am I going to do next year? And it's the finding all of these, like, there are things that I love, there are things that I'm passionate about, there are things that I'm good at, and can I find a place where someone will pay me to do that? And I've been able to find that space in ministry. But when I think about calling, it's not just in traditional ministries like pastoring. You are called to where you see brokenness in the world, and that is matched with your skills and your gifts. Whether you're going to be an engineer or a teacher or a professional athlete or a stay-at-home dad, we are all called to see where God is acting in the world and to join in with that, no matter what that means we are doing. And I think I'm going to hand over to Micah.
Let's leave that last slide up.
Okay.
I kind of like it. I didn't see it before just a moment ago. So last night, as I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I had written everything down, at the end, I want to encourage you to listen to God. And last night, I thought, well, you know, if I'm encouraging you all to do that, maybe I should do that. The dangerous thing when you listen to God, sometimes God rewrites everything that you have to say. So I did. And the spot where I got thinking the most is around value and purpose and self-worth. I've been talking with a lot of people recently who have been talking about their calling but are also thinking about retirement. And so much of their identity is caught up in who they are, in what they do, that when they are looking at not doing that anymore, they're afraid they're going to lose themselves. So I was thinking for you guys, as you explore what is it that God is calling you to do, where do you hold your value? And is it all going to be in what you do? Because I think that could be a dangerous spot to have our calling be the place where all of our life comes from. For example, I work with youth, kids, and with you guys. And if I'm getting all of my life out of my work with you guys, that could lead to some very messy relationship things. Often, people who get themselves into a lot of trouble sexually and in relationships, it's they're not feeding their own needs, but they're getting their needs met from what they're doing. So as I was thinking about this, I was thinking of there is this thing of when I am doing what I feel called to do, there is no greater joy. And I've come to this realization that I love watching TV, I love seeing games, I love playing stuff, but that's often entertainment. But my greatest joy is when I'm doing the things that I feel called to do. When I'm sitting with somebody and they're asking questions about Scripture and I'm explaining some of that stuff, for me that is just what I feel like I'm made to do, and there's such joy in that. But I have to be careful that I don't get all of my life there. Because if I don't have those opportunities, do I create them? Or do I wait for God to bring them to me? So there's this piece of, yes, calling, but also self-worth and value. So as I think about this, a couple of things come to mind. Where's a place that I can get my value, my worth? For me, the place that doesn't get stripped away isn't in what I do. I used to be a bit of an athlete, a little bit. I thought I was pretty good. Maybe I wasn't. But I had a back injury. And suddenly I had to start thinking, I can't swing a baseball bat anymore. And for a while, they weren't sure if I would run properly again. And that got me thinking, who am I if I can't do those things? The one thing that I can think of that doesn't get stripped away is that I was made by a loving God, and that loving God gave me worth, value, and that's where I get my life from. Because nothing can strip that away from me. So I get my life there to start with. And that's like, think of a prism with light flowing into it. That light is what I see as God's love, God's value of me flowing into me. And then this nexus of where my gifts are and the need, it's sort of like the light that comes out that suddenly becomes visible through me, God's love through me becoming visible to the world. So it's when I am in right relationship with God and I'm fully accepting God's love that then God works through me and my love flows well to meet the needs of the world. And I realize when I am not in right relationship with God, my strengths and my abilities end up being my downfall. So I, like Mariah, am loud. I also have moved a lot and have realized that to make friends, I need to be bold. And I also have learned to be in tune with how people are. Those three things, when I am in good relationship with God, are a great gift that I am bold enough to go to someone and say, I see God saying this in you. But when I'm not in right relationship with God, when I'm not full, I haven't looked after my own needs, and I'm seeking to fill my needs in the other person, often that boldness leads to me saying something stupid and hurtful, and my insight into people makes sure it's something that cuts really deep. Do you see how that, when I'm in right relationships, it's a great gift, but when I'm not, that's destructive. So I have a couple of thoughts when thinking about this. Find your worth in God. If you're seeking where God directs you, first of all, find your worth in God. Second, meet your needs in healthy ways. And be intentional about this. Often, if we're not intentional, we unintentionally meet our unmet needs. And that's often when we slip into dangerous and unhealthy ways. And the third part with this is don't isolate yourself from others' needs. We are masters in our society with isolating ourselves from other people. Our houses help us isolate. Our phones help us isolate. We can look at the good things and slide over the hurtful spots. Our entertainment often isolates us, insulates us, and we don't have to experience other people's pain. If you're looking for your purpose, don't insulate yourself from the pain of the world, the pain of others. So I think with this, of the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. Get all of your worth from being in God's love. But then there's that second part. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that has that part of filling my needs, loving myself, but then not isolating myself from others' needs. I want to transition from that thought to sort of my own calling. And I want to tell you a story of Samuel. And I'll make this quick. So Samuel was a little boy whose mother couldn't have kids. Cried out to God, and God blessed her with having this kid. Now, unlike me, I would have rejoiced and loved the kid and kept him as close to me. But Hannah, his mother, took him to the temple, dedicated him to the Lord, and left him in the priest Eli's hands to serve God there. Now Samuel was there, and he served God, and he served Eli, who started getting older, and Eli's sons weren't very faithful. And one night, Samuel was laying in right next to the box of the covenant, and he was going to sleep, and Eli was in another room sleeping, and Samuel heard a voice calling out, "Samuel, Samuel!" So he jumped up, ran into Eli, and said, "Here I am, you called, and here I am." Eli kind of wakes up, looks at him, "Boy, what is wrong with you? How did he call you? I'm asleep. Go back." So Samuel went back, laid down, and as soon as he laid down, he heard again, "Samuel, Samuel." So he jumps up, goes, "Okay," runs in, "Eli, here I am, you called me, here I am." Eli wakes up, "Wait, I'm trying to sleep here, what's wrong with you? Go sleep." Now I can imagine if Eli's like me, now he's been woken up a little bit, and he's a little bit frustrated. Same way sometimes I get frustrated with my son when he keeps asking me the same question, and I'm giving him the answer. So Samuel goes and lays down. And again, a voice calls out, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel comes running back to Eli. "Here I am, you called, here I am." This time, I think Eli's a little bit more awake. And he understands God enough that he pauses. He says, something else is going on. And he goes, ah, all right. Samuel, here's what I want you to do. Go lay down again. And when you hear that voice, I think it's God calling you. So what I want you to say is, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And that's what Samuel does. He goes, he lays down, and sure enough, the Bible says that God comes and stands with Samuel and says, Samuel, Samuel. And this time, Samuel says, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And from that point on, Samuel listens to God. He knows God's voice, and God speaks to him. And he goes on to be able to speak to the people. His gifting and the people's needs come and meet. For me, as I was growing up and I was trying to figure out what's my why, what's my purpose, I had many older people who said, Micah, I recognize this in you. Here's how you hear God in your life. And for me, as I've gotten older, I've realized that is in some ways part of my calling, is to sit with other people and say, hey, I think what you're hearing is God. Here's a way you can listen to God. I want to be able to give that opportunity to you guys here in a few moments. Because I think it's important for us to talk about our relationship with God and talk about God, but I think it's also very important to sit and listen to God. And I want to coach you guys in how we're going to do this. So in a moment, what I'm going to have you do is we're going to say together three times, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then I'm going to invite you to just be still and listen. And in this space of thinking about need, thinking about how God has gifted you and how you are meeting your needs healthily, what does God have to say to you? What is it that God will speak in this space? And are you willing to listen? And at the end of that time of silence, I'll again say that. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And I'll close us in prayer. So let's come to this space. And I invite you to speak with me and then listen. So join me. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Come and speak with us. Help us to be bold enough to first of all listen and let your love define us. May it transform us into the people you wish us to be. And may we find all of our joy in following you. Guide us, Lord, to meet the needs that you have put before us. Help us to know how to wisely do that for ourselves. And then help us to let your love flow through us to meet the needs of the world. Speak. Help us to hear. Guide us, Lord. And thank you for your love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again, Micah and Mariah, for sharing that with us. Now is the time in this service where we open up to campus announcements. So if you have a campus announcement, please come up and share that.
Good morning, everyone. As we all know, fall break is very close. We're probably counting down the hours. I know I am. My name is Lydia Haggard, and this is Becca Mongold. We are co-presidents of YServe, and today we want to recognize the fall break Y-Trip that's leaving this evening. So YServe is a student organization that is committed to being the hands and feet of Jesus. We provide and connect students to service opportunities both on and off campus. And one of these service opportunities is service trips, which happen in the fall break and the spring break. So today we want to recognize and pray for the fall break Y-Trip participants. As one of the participants, I'm really excited. For the next 3 days, we're going to be staying at Brethren Woods, and we're going to be doing service in the local context. And I want to recognize also that some of us are traveling, and we want to offer that, offer a prayer for that as well. So, Becca.
Okay, join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day that you've given us. Even though it's been hectic the couple days leading up to this with exams and papers and projects and people, thank you for giving us these next couple of days to rest and recharge. Whether that looks like spending time with family or going out on a service project, Lord, I pray that you, just re-energize everybody in whatever way that looks like. I pray for traveling mercies for everyone, again, whether it's 5 minutes down the street or 5 hours away. I pray that you watch over them and bring us all back next week together, recharged and ready to take on the semester.
Mariana Lippold, I'm an MA, and I'm on the YServe leadership team as well. If you like university colloquiums, today's your day. At 4, there's going to be a talk in University Commons in the Main Stage Theater. It's entitled On the Front Lines of Conscience, an account of 4 Hutterites imprisoned at Alcatraz. Sounds really interesting. So that's from 4 to 5, and then directly after that, from 5 to 6, there will be a reception in Common Grounds. So be there.
I'm Alyssa Hemsey. I'm an MA as well, and on the YServe leadership team. Tonight, there is the ENC Bible study in University Commons Student Life Lounge from 8 to 9, and since it is mid-semester recess, there's not very many events this week. So on Monday, there is the Zoe Bible study with Rachel Yoder, and that is from 8 to 9 as well.
Yeah. As we go from here, let's take what has been shared with us and incorporate it into our weeks, and also focus on the recharging, the re-energizing, and the ability to be motivated for the rest of the semester. So thank you.